terror north of the border.
Canada will never be intimidated.
White House fence jumper.
Dogs were deployed and the man was arrested.
College cheating scandal widens.
This never should have been allowed to happen.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The attack in Canada's capital has raised questions on both sides of the border. It ended in a hail of gunfire inside the Parliament building in Ottawa with the gunman killed. Audio from the Globe and Mail. It's an incident that's shaken Canadians.
I think people will definitely be more vigilant after something like this, after seeing that it can hit so close to home.
The gunman who killed Canadian soldier Nathan Cirillo before storming into Parliament is identified as 32-year-old Michael Zahaf Bibeau, a petty criminal and convert to Islam. And the attack comes 2 days after another Canadian soldier was run over and killed by an Islamic convert. Prime Minister Stephen Harper says it was an act of terror and Canada will not be intimidated.
This will lead us to strengthen our resolve and redouble our efforts and those of our national security agencies to take all necessary steps to identify and counter threats and keep Canada safe here at home.
I'm Jim Crisul in Ottawa. Canada is a nation on edge. The second deadly apparent terrorist attack in 3 days has raised worries about reprisals for this country, joining the U.S.-led air campaign against an extremist Islamic group in Iraq and Syria.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve in Ottawa says Canadian police and the military have been active since the attack.
We have seen stepped-up security at military bases across Canada. Gates being locked, cement barriers being put into place, certainly a sense of heightened alert, particularly because we don't know if this was a lone wolf or if this is somebody that was acting as part of a bigger plot.
CBS News contributor Michael Morrell joins us. He's a former deputy director at the CIA. If this is a lone wolf case, what can be done to stop those, if anything?
The only thing you can do is monitor jihadist websites and the people who go there. And when they start talking about violence is when you can open up an investigation into them and take a look at them. All of that is very, very hard. It is very easy to be a lone wolf.
Does this raise questions about our very long border with Canada?
Absolutely, it does. I am much more worried about our border with Canada than with Mexico. You hear many people are talking about their worries about the Mexican border. I actually worry about the border with Canada because you've got many, many more young Muslims in Canada. Strong evidence now that they are able to be radicalized. It's very easy to come across that border.
Michael Morrell, thanks very much. There was a security issue at the White House last night.
The Secret Service tells CBS News a man jumped over the fence from Pennsylvania Avenue onto the north lawn of the White House. The Secret Service says its dogs were deployed. The jumper was arrested. He's the seventh this year. When a man named Omar Gonzalez did it 33 days ago, he got into the White House. That led to the resignation of the director of the Secret Service. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The man's been identified as 23-year-old Dominic Adesanya of Bel Air, Maryland. He was taken to a hospital with injuries. The official autopsy in the Michael Brown case shows he was shot in the hand at close range. The officer who shot and killed Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, contends the 18-year-old was going for his gun. Supporters of Brown insist he had his hands up when he was shot and killed back in August. The government's got some new rules for travelers from West Africa in the effort to battle Ebola. We're live in Washington with CBS's Pam Coulter.
Steve, everyone returning to the U.S. from West Africa will be monitored for Ebola symptoms for 21 days, checking in with health officials daily. The CDC's Tom Frieden says states will follow up.
They'll establish a plan to follow up and locate people in case they don't check in on a daily basis. And they'll establish procedures to evaluate someone who reports a fever.
After insisting any hospital in the U.S. could handle Ebola cases, the government will now designate 20 as go-to places for treatment. CBS's Peter King visited one of them in Dallas.
Doctors, nurses, and other caregivers have been practicing.
On and off and on and off.
With the protective garments they'll wear inside the new containment wing. Parkland Hospital Trauma and Disaster Program Director Jory Klein.
Taking off the PPEs, we call that doffing, is probably the most dangerous step because that's when you might expose yourself or you wipe your forehead, you scratch your skin.
Klein says there are actually 20 steps to prevent contamination and infection on the back end. Getting out accurate information about Ebola is crucial, too. Sabrina Gibbons in Atlanta has more on that.
Social media is critical to getting out information to the public and healthcare workers during this Ebola outbreak, says Carol Crawford with the CDC.
We've had a number of Twitter chats that have resulted in hundreds of questions answered. We had a Facebook Q&A last week that resulted in about 2,000 questions in 1 hour.
And during those online chats, you're able to talk directly with CDC experts. She says they also monitor your tweets and Facebook pages to learn about gaps and misconceptions about Ebola.
Reports from Liberia say dozens of people quarantined for Ebola monitoring are threatening to break out because of a lack of food. The cheating scandal at the University of North Carolina is much bigger than anyone thought. Investigators now say it lasted nearly 2 decades and involved 3,100 students, half of them athletes. Former U.S. Attorney Kenneth Weinstein says it involved fake classes with students getting easy A's and bogus B's.
They didn't take notes, have to stay awake. They didn't have to meet with professors, and the only coursework they had to do was to write a single paper.
At least 9 university employees have been fired or are under review. During the scandal, the men's basketball team won 3 national titles. Reports say NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will have to testify in the Ray Rice appeal of his indefinite suspension. The players' union says Rice was punished twice, first with a 2-game suspension for knocking out his then-fiancée in an elevator. At the World Series, it's all even at a game apiece as Kansas City topped San Francisco 7-2.
The partisan Kansas City fans here were ecstatic.
We're going to take them down. We're going to take them down. Kansas City! Woo!
The Royals exploded for 5 runs in the 6th inning to break a 2-2 tie. Kansas City's Alex Gordon impressed with the way the Royals responded following the loss in Game 1.
To come back the way we did and play as well as we did tonight was good. So it was a good team win tonight.
After a travel day, the series resumes in San Francisco for Game 3 on Friday. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the World Series in Kansas City.
Science has come up with a new version of a popular fruit.
Are you ready for an apple that bites back? Swiss researchers have developed a new apple variety they call Paradis Sparkling that releases effervescent juices when you bite into it. They describe it as like having a mouthful of a fizzy drink. The apple actually foams up a bit. The sensation is short-lived, however, and the juice from the apple does not hold on to its sparkling characteristics if the apple is pressed. This apple, the result of years of crossbreeding, it's unclear just when we might expect to see them in grocery stores. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Folks, in much of the country, we'll get to see the final partial solar eclipse of the year later today. Williams College astronomer Jay Pasikoff.
The further to the northwest you go, the more of the sun is covered. In Seattle, about 65%, whereas down in Los Angeles, it's just about 45%.
And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.